SCP-7838, The Patchwork King and the Flayed Men's Court. The Hanged King is one of the more enigmatic figures within the SCP universe, as despite being one of the most notable entities in the cosmology, there haven't been a great number of articles written about him. The articles we do have certainly emphasize how little the Foundation knows about him, as well as his rather unusual city-state, Alagada. The Hanged King primarily manifests through various creative works, leaching into our reality through references both vague and direct. In my video on the Hanged King, I compared this to Haster, an entity from the Cthulhu mythos that functions in a very similar way, and is primarily referenced through a stage play titled The King in Yellow. This almost certainly influenced SCP-701, a similar stage play about the Hanged King. And now we have SCP-7838, an article that takes that idea and expands upon it a bit, while still remaining quite mysterious. Let's take a look. SCP-7838 is the collective designation for artistic works concerning a purported historical figure referred to as the Hanged King. These works vary in medium and presentation, but they all share certain elements, including direct or indirect references to the Hanged King and his reign, all of which are incongruent with any nation's known monarchical historical record. None of them have a known author or publisher. Their print quality, historical backing, and vernacular suggest that they originate from the 17th or 18th century Europe, likely in England, and they have a potential anomalous effect resulting in mass hysteria and violence. So far, 5 different works have been cataloged by the Foundation, with the cumulative number of printings of these works still in circulation estimated to be in the low thousands. According to Foundation data models, 47% of observed engagements with these works have resulted in prolonged fits of violence and self-mutilation, typically through flaying oneself. This effect can be negated through the use of targeted, mimetic agents that subdue the motor system without impacting perception, and the majority of research into the works has been conducted using this method. There is, however, another anomalous effect that they all share, and that's the spontaneous growth of inflamed tissue, typically in the tailbone, thigh, or groin areas. These tumors can grow at a volatile rate to an excessive size, being clearly visible underneath the skin, and imaging has revealed them to be composed of rope, hair, muscle, and placenta, as well as other embryonic or fetal organs. The rate of these growths can be attributed to the frequency in which the individual continues to engage with the works, as well as continued rumination and fixation on the Hanged King, the Court of Skin, or the Kingdom of Alagada. Attempts to remove the growths via surgery or radiofrequency ablation have resulted in the growths gaining mobility and swiftly traveling to another part of the body, potentially causing internal damage to other structures. So far, the only known methods of combating the growth is through amnestic treatment, which removes offending knowledge regarding 7838 from recall. While this treatment is effective in preventing the growth from growing larger, it does not neutralize them entirely. In their final stages, the growths have been observed to swell up to 80 centimeters, or over 2.5 feet in diameter. Upon navigating itself to the upper rib cage and severely impacting breathing, swallowing, and other functions, the growth will then extend portions of its mass to the throat area, likely asphyxiating the individual or causing shock from the rapid twisting of the trachea. It's noted that the corpses of individuals who have fully succumbed to the growths are forfeited to the Kingdom of Alagada. We'll get back to that in a bit, but let's look at the actual artistic works themselves, starting with a painting with an unknown title, which was acquired from an ordinary French auction in 1958. No reproductions have surfaced, and the paint quality and techniques date it to around the mid-1600s. The painting depicts a noble in an ornate bedchamber with a horrified expression on his face, his arms outstretched and tears streaming down his cheeks. In the bottom right corner, a hand, decorated in jewelry, possibly belonging to a woman, grasps towards him. On his left is an open hallway, crowded by a cluster of peasants and armored guards who point and scream towards the noble and appear to be charging into the room. Attempts to identify the portrayed culture remain fruitless, as the figure's clothing, ethnicity, and surrounding palace decor will vary, with different viewers perceiving different cultural elements, and over 40 documented variations have been observed. Those looking at the painting for extended periods of time have reported difficulty breathing, along with the sensation of pressure applied to their trachea. Second is a children's nursery rhyme titled Inside Outside Castle, Upside Downside King, which first appeared in a printed compilation of English children's poetry in 1742. The rhyme's central message encourages children to be worthy heirs and show gratitude to their parents for giving them life. If they don't, they'll be taken to the inside-outside castle to meet the upside-downside king, a once-respected ruler who has now been forgotten for all time as punishment for a past misdeed. The king will make the children forget everything they've ever known, including themselves, before resigning them to servitude in his court. They will be turned into clothes and floors and walls for the nobility to enjoy as retribution for being unworthy of their family's name. Unlike the painting, this one is much more widespread, with it being continuously republished in nursery rhyme compilations and reproduced online through unknown means, often without the knowledge of the compiler. Over 4,300 separate published instances remain within the Foundation's possession, and no surviving online footprint of the rhyme remains accessible. Third is a marble statue depicting two figures, one being a man dressed in nonspecific regalia, and the other a pregnant woman. The woman's arms cradle her stomach, and she appears focused on something above, out of sight. The man's expression, when viewed from the ground level, appears content and tranquil, with his eyes glazing to the side. But when viewed at head level, the expression is clearly scornful, with his eyes pointed directly at the woman. On occasion, placental expulsion will collect at the basin of the statue, dripping from underneath the woman's dress, and cellular examination of the tissue has shown that it is undergoing necrosis. The statue was inherited from the Foundation predecessor organization, the American Secure Containment Initiative, and is believed to be a unique item. Fourth is a stage play, designated SCP-701, and titled The Hanged King's Tragedy. I've covered this one in my video on the Hanged King, but to recap, the play is a revenge tragedy taking place across five acts in a fantasy setting similar to 17th century Italy. The plot is similar to many similar plays such as Hamlet or Titus Andronicus, involving courtly maneuvering, betrayal, and revenge. Performances of the play, however, are associated with sudden psychotic and violent behavior among both observers and participants, as well as the manifestation of a mysterious figure appearing in the play as the Hanged King. SCP-701 continues to pop up and be performed to disastrous results, and is classified as a self-evolving mimetic virus transmitted through the text of the play. It's certainly the most dangerous of the five works, thus earning its own SCP designation. Lastly is a 124-page drama titled On the Anguish of Benefalti, centered around a fictional city in Italy of the same name. In the story, Benifalti was once a proud hub of trade and the arts, before becoming blockaded from the rest of the world by a thick layer of smog. Overlooking the city is the manor of the Coated Gentry, a family of vassals who serve the Hanged King, an unseen ruler from the Kingdom of Aligata, a nation of banished things. Benifalti's populace has been burdened by an inability to remember, rendering them unable to function despite the commands of the gentry. The peasantry are subjected to sprawling, aimless construction efforts at the behest of the Hanged King, but they are quickly forgotten and fall into ruin within hours. These failed monuments and structures line the city, layered atop one another as the populace moves from one project to the other. The Coated Father, the patriarch of the gentry, continuously lies to the Hanged King and his court of skin about the splendor of Benifalti, fearing retaliation if he learned the truth. One day, without warning, the Hanged King and his ambassadors parade into Benifalti to see the monuments built to him, but discover the truth immediately. Enraged that his legacy remains unknown and that he is unrecognizable to the populace, the king forces the Coated Father to publicly execute the rest of his family by hanging. The bodies are thrown to the starving peasantry, who tear them apart to be eaten. The Hanged King and his court storm the manor overlooking Benifalti, where they take refuge for several months. The king imposes tortuous policies on the civilians below, punishing them to servitude in the court of skin, where their job is to continuously provide flesh for the king's necrotizing body. Women are frequently taken as concubines, but none can produce an heir, only giving birth to clumps of flesh. Angered, the king orders all women in Benifalti to carve out their imperfect wombs, and upon doing so, sews the resultant masses of tissue onto his body. As the last civilian from Benifalti is killed, the king weeps, knowing that his legacy remains forgotten, unable to reign anywhere but his prison of Aligata. The Hanged King and his court leave Benifalti, watching the city crumble and turn to dust as they exit. The work was likely distributed in the early 1600s, with 138 copies in Foundation possession, 17 of which are handwritten but incomplete, most likely due to the transcribers being subject to the growths in the process. Similarly, the lead research position on SCP-7838 has been frequently rotated due to the growths, despite the amnestic treatments available. It seems to affect only the lead researcher, with rapid, inexplicable development of the tumor. We're given a collection of psychological evaluations from a few former lead researchers, taken before their exits on the project. First, Dr. Carroll's tumor was located on her lower left thigh, being barely visible, but she expressed feelings of guilt over its development. She admitted that her interest in 7838 and the associated phenomena persisted beyond engagement with the material for research purposes. She had taken a foray into English monarchical history in order to possibly explain the allegorical basis of the written works. She also reported experiencing intense blackouts, up to 5 hours long, and gaps in her memory after nights of extended research, as well as several failed attempts to remove the growth herself via self-mutilation. She was subsequently reassigned and given full amnestic treatment, with the growth remaining the same size since. Dr. Agrawal's growth was positioned on his right foot, intersecting multiple toenails from beneath, and he has now communicated explicit fear of 7838 after being responsible for cataloging over 500 instances of On the Anguish of Benifalti. His fear revolves around constructing an interpretation of the Hanged King in his mind, claiming that the speculation serves the same purpose as the actual concept. He has noted the tumor's expansion and an onset of hallucinations, paranoia, and poor sleeping conditions to correlate with speculation regarding 7838. During the evaluation, he was notably reverent in the way he spoke of 7838 and the associated phenomena. He was reassigned and given full amnestic treatment, but in a rather unusual case, his tumor rapidly shrunk to the point of being unobservable, with this being previously undocumented in 7838 cases. Dr. Capri's growth was positioned under his left forearm, heavily distending the skin, and he claimed to have no engagement with 7838 outside of research, which was limited to archiving incoming, previously undocumented instances. Despite his explicit estrangement from 7838 and associated phenomena, on top of an amnestic regimen, he reported the growth worsening, alongside brief visual and auditory hallucinations. These included the sight of a cloaked, humanoid figure in his peripheral, typically appearing in between crevices and corners, and the sounds of trumpets, which he has described as sounding similar to crying. He's in the process of being granted leave from 7838 as the Foundation re-examines the existing documents and studies in order to assess methods of combating or further understanding the tumors. Dr. Capri's growth has continued to develop despite undergoing heavy amnestic treatment. Because of all of this, the research head position has been temporarily absolved from 7838, with all activity being limited to containment procedures and archival oversight. Shortly after Capri's initial evaluation, he had a conversation with a representative from the Foundation Board of Psychology, Director Munlin. Capri tells him to just rotate him off the project, to which Munlin says that he's trying, but they're not officially taking anyone off the project until they redraft the containment procedures to see if anything's missing. Capri replies that they could start by figuring out what happens to the bodies, as, per the description, corpses of individuals who have fully succumbed to the growths are considered lost. That line was added in 1973, with the attached studies being inaccessible, and there's no contact with the attributed researcher. Munlin guesses that it's a file from before the Ethics Committee, so it involved human testing. He can get Ryza on it, but they'll just remove the line entirely, as those papers never come out. Things tend to be forgotten very easily. Capri says that in 3 weeks, when his growth is the size of a basketball and choking him out, everyone better remember it. He's done 2 complete amnestic removals, purging everything from the past 6 months, but it still keeps growing. The hallucinations are also ongoing, with him mentioning something at the end of the hall between the crack and the doors that's been there since they started talking. Munlin turns to look, but of course he doesn't see anything, so instead he asks if the medication is working. Capri says that he sleeps just fine as long as he doesn't roll over onto the bump, with the drug knocking him right out and suppressing his dreams. It's waking up that's the problem, though. He mentions the ironic process theory, in which being told to not think about something only makes you think about it more. Telling him not to think about the Hanged King causes him to look at the gaps in his memory and the hallucinations, and just makes him think about the Hanged King. Munlin replies that that's what they're trying to figure out, as with amnestics, it shouldn't even be a thought in his mind, and he shouldn't see the Hanged King. Capri says that he doesn't see it, but he still knows that it's there. In July of 2023, a thread was posted to the website parawatch.net, an image board dedicated to speculation and discussion of the paranormal. The post involves step-by-step instructions for something referred to as a guest in the garden, performed at home with a box, a blindfold, and a rope. To perform it, you should begin the preparations at night, sealing the box with tape and tying the rope into a noose large enough to fit your neck. Then open every window, closet, cabinet, drawer, and door in your house as wide as possible before placing the blindfold over your eyes, the noose around your neck, and the box in your hands. Then recite the following. There is a guest in the garden of the Patchwork King, and a gift for the court of forgotten things. There is no king, nor worthy heir to take a throne as noble or fair. Around my neck this covenant lies, behind my back the herald's eyes. I mask my face in Allegodon night. The pact of skin is recognized. After that, begin moving, but don't remove the blindfold and keep repeating the mantra. The doors you open will begin to close, signaling the arrival of the herald. You should follow the sound, keeping hold of the box, regardless of how heavy it becomes. When you hear footsteps trailing behind, continue moving, following the sounds room to room. When the box becomes so heavy that it cannot be moved further, place it at your feet, at which point the nearest doors will close. Then step onto the box, keeping still as you feel the noose lift and tighten. When the noose is dropped and hits your back again, step off of the box. There is a guest in the garden of the Patchwork King. The post was flagged by Foundation web crawlers and taken down, but due to Parawatch's high traffic, the post began to spread in spite of swift containment efforts, affecting between 5,000 to 15,000 individuals with 7838 related phenomena. There was a mass outbreak of violence, consistent with uninoculated viewing of other 7838 instances, and parents with young children experienced severe disorientation that resulted in them forgetting their child's presence. Multiple cases of starvation, accidental injury, or suffocation in vehicles occurred as a result over the next 3 weeks. 7 instances of politicians or those heavily involved in political organizations took their own lives via hanging, with their bodies being discovered flayed. All individuals were male in the process of preparing for a child. Violent altercations occurred in academic settings, resulting from abrupt debates regarding the veracity of various historical sources, purporting that numerous rulers and their dynasties did not actually exist. All documented human births from the period of posting to the post's removal, being 38 minutes, were stillborn as a result of umbilical strangulation. 59 ongoing stage productions at the time suddenly performed The Hanged King's Tragedy, resulting in outbreaks of violence. There were cases of false pregnancies, with affected individuals giving birth to large abdominal tumors composed of hair, teeth, and malformed cartilage, with the instances being vocal until disposal. Herds of wild and domestic animals, commonly livestock, were found collectively flaying themselves by sloughing their now liquefied skin from their bodies. Finally, individuals in nations with monarchical history traveled to remote outdoor areas without human habitation and frantically dug with their hands. Some burrowed holes reaching up to 45 meters in depth, resulting in the individual's disappearance. Global containment efforts, led by several mobile task forces, were put into place immediately, with mass amnesticization and cover-up efforts taking place over the next month. The IP address for the individual who posted the thread was tracked to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, being the home of Dr. Capri, and a detachment of an MTF was sent, but they were unable to locate the doctor or recover any objects of note. Afterwards, the investigation discovered that, on the previous night, Capri had uploaded a video to the Foundation's servers using a live transmission feed. In the video, Capri is sitting on his bed, audibly crying, with his growth observed to have swollen to immense proportions, now positioned near his upper chest. The bulbous growth pulsates and throbs, and Capri struggles to breathe. He says that he didn't want to do that, before wheezing and coughing up a large chunk of bloody phlegm. He gets up from the bed, and a noose can be seen tied around his neck, hanging from the ceiling. He states that he's not going to sit in a cell, as he uses his feet to position a cardboard box. He then says that at least they'll know what happens, before standing on the box and kicking it out from underneath himself. After a brief struggle, he goes limp, but the growth still pulsates and grows larger. The camera, a mobile phone, falls to the floor, losing sight of Capri, and continues streaming for 45 minutes before the battery dies. During the final investigation and foreclosure of Capri's home, the Foundation noticed that the carpeting in Capri's bedroom was loosened. After removing it, they discovered a 4-page manuscript entitled A Guest Most Reviled, outlining stage directions for a theatrical performance. Analysis of the parchment used has revealed it to be composed of human skin, with genetic analysis remaining inconclusive. In the script, a scene is set at the Court of the Unlearned, a sprawling cathedral in size and scope marked by ornate columns. Banners hang from the balconies above, displaying unknown crests, and the breadth and openness of the room is accented by the marble floor and ceiling, which display complicated patterns. The chorus enters, reciting, "A fortress most opulent, though a cage in guise, the land of Aligata, where we lay our scene, a terminal dwelling plucked far from eyes, plays host to a guest who stands unclean." The chorus exits, and the doctor enters, wearing a mask, as they all do here, while a bulbous growth drapes below the neck, reddened and engorged. The rotten womb labors his breath, tightening its hold. No release will come for this austere corpse. The doctor states that he is a guest in the garden of the Patchwork King, at which point the herald enters. The doctor weeps but will not face the herald, as he begs for them to take this from him. He wrote it and stopped taking the amnestics, doing what they wanted. The herald wraps its hand around the doctor's growth, caressing the burden, and leans into the doctor's ear, asking if he hears it wailing and weeping, or if he tries to forget. The herald addresses His Majesty, stating that this guest tries to forget the forgotten, yet he comes with a gift. The doctor begins to speak, but the herald shrieks and throws him to the ground, telling him not to speak. The doctor stands again, but doesn't look at the herald, as a scream comes from the doctor's growth, the wailing of an infant. The herald commands him to walk as the two exit the stage. Another scene takes place at the throne of the Hanged King, being set in a candle-lit room covered in skin. The faces of the walls and floors, gaped in horror, writhe and moan, and a throne sits at the center, covered with a sheet, obscuring the player beneath. The doctor and herald enter, as the herald states that the king could never forget, and this scornful reign must continue. It will continue until every rotten heir is struck from the womb, but every womb bears a rotten heir. It calls it an impossible game, this tragedy. The doctor collapses to his knees as the growth screams louder and violently throbs. The herald tells the king that this reviled guest thought to recreate his splendor in his mind, as so many have, but now he sees. The sheet is lifted, showing the hanged king seated at the throne. The king is giant, though its body is nimble, with dying bones visible against its sagging, discolored skin. The body is covered in loose stitches, bursting from their seams, and a robe is draped across its shoulder, made of scalps. The noose around its neck dangles from the ceiling, and on its head sits a large, blood-stained crown. Its eyes have been plucked, and in their place sit limp sockets, pierced with golden chains and held up with rope. The doctor wails in fear as the herald states that the pact of skin is recognized, and this one sees the king and grows a wicked heir. The king moves, its skin sloughing from the bone, and stitches rip and tear as a bony finger navigates towards the doctor's growth. The infant's screaming becomes louder as the finger ruptures the skin, and the doctor cries as the king's bloodied fingernail punctures the womb, spewing placenta onto the ground below. The tumor, now hanging from an umbilical cord inside of Capri's throat in the shape of a noose, continues to scream. In a single movement, the king spears its fingernail through the burden, pinning it to the ground. The unborn heir implodes from the pressure, sending viscera in every direction and into the audience. This has caused a portion of the king's skin to slough off of its arm, revealing a cracked, blackened bone covered in scant patches of thin sinew and rotten tissue. The skin falls to the floor, and the entity tears it away, throwing it into a corner. The flayed men's court then enter, with dozens of players emerging from both sides of the stage. They are naked and lack skin, and they kneel at the patch of flesh and tear away, attempting to place it back on their own flayed bodies. The herald is overcome with laughter as the king lifts the doctor into the air, bringing him level with its empty sockets. They twitch and writhe as the king places a finger on the doctor's forehead, making an incision using its fingernail and pushing deeper, beginning to flay the doctor. The pact of skin is recognized. So, much of the article stands on its own, as being a quite horrific piece of body horror and unknowable mysteriousness, without really knowing anything about the Hanged King or Alligata. Again, I'll point to my own video on the Hanged King if you want to learn more, or just specifically read articles like SCP-701 and The Tale and So the Crows Laughed. While this article is meant to be somewhat of a remix of 701, and thus has bits of its own lore, the general mysteriousness of the Hanged King allows a lot of different bits of lore to be potentially true. The odd growths and the pact of skin are new concepts here, but the depiction of the Hanged King and the insanity of Alligata is pretty routine. From what we can tell, the Hanged King is continually decaying and requires constant gifts of flesh. These massive growths that appear in anyone who becomes familiar with the Hanged King and the works eventually kill the individual, and they are taken to Alligata as part of the Pact of Skin. Here, the tumors are meant to be an heir for the king, but they will never be. Instead, the king kills the living growth and flays the individual, taking their skin for himself, and they become part of the flayed men's court. Numerous times throughout the article, it mentions how the Hanged King and Alligata are forgotten, and there's disputes about the historical authenticity of the works and the settings they present. It's possible, then, that the king did exist in our reality at some point, as a mortal, but, as is often the case in the SCP universe, things were rewritten and he was forgotten. While this would sort of be taken from the Syncope Symphony, it does align with some other Hanged King articles. At this rate, though, with new works related to the Hanged King and Alagada continuing to crop up, perpetuating the SCP-7838 problem, the King represents a pretty big issue for the Foundation. After all, if the King was once part of our reality, who's to say that he couldn't rejoin it?